I'm Ian Dell from Chemin Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellent, knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language. The Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
From acclaimed director Lynn Ramsey comes a film critics are calling a masterpiece.
Mama here.
State Senator, teenage daughter's been missing all weekend.
Joaquin Phoenix gives his best performance yet.
I've heard of these places. If she's there, I'll get her.
It's stunning, daring, and mesmerizing. It's Taxi Driver for a new century.
Close your eyes.
You were never really here. In cinemas March 9th, rated 15.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying. Okay.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Plus our super premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch What Crappens. What crappens? Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Crappens. What crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banta Blender podcast. And joining me on this Bravo-licious day is the one and only, the very special man himself, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. And the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How's it going? Are you ready to talk some Top Chef on this fine, fine Monday?
Hell yes, I am. What an episode.
What an episode. It's like we're down to the final three, and they got to battle it out for one last spot in the finals. It's all happening.
Yeah. Yes, this was a pretty amazing episode. Gail is back.
She's back.
For some reason, Gail and Padma decided to switch outfits today, which I found very amusing through the whole thing.
Yes.
But before we get too far into it, just a reminder, we're going to be in Houston this week.
Yeah, this Friday. It's this business week. In
yes.
Four more business days, we will be in Houston to talk Beverly Hills.
Yes, the dinner party from hell from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We have a bunch of tour dates coming up. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets and t-shirts and mugs and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we're going to a lot of cities. Yeah, we're going to a lot of cities. We don't know when we'll be back to them, so be sure to get the viewing while the viewing's good of us.
Yeah. So we open this Top Chef with the final three celebrating right after the judgment, which I like that they're just keeping the cameras rolling now. That's like a new thing this season that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all high-fiving each other. And Fat Joe's like, I feel like I just came back from the dead. And I'm like, you're my favorite kind of zombie. Why are there no big Fat Joe kind of zombies? Like, I would totally still be watching Walking Dead if there were a few chunky zombies, you
know?
Yeah,
a chunky, friendly zombie who can make a mean ziti. That's all I want in life sometimes. You know?
I just want a zombie who can really understand his pasta sauces, okay?
Exactly. And then there was a flashback of the judging from last week and Padma going, I had the greatest food of the season this week. Too bad my dear friend Gail Simmons couldn't enjoy it. Bless her heart.
I feel like somewhere Gail Simmons is burping anyway. So Luigi's like, whoa, I can't believe Carrie was kicked off. She was really the one to beat. And then he gives us a smile. So Luigi keeps giving us these little shitty smiles.
Shit
the whole
smiles.
Time.
The entire time he wants to smack him.
Yes, he really is a little bitch.
I want to realign his crystals behind his back. See how he feels about that.
Yeah, he's like, toast, and Fat Joe's like, literally, ha 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 ha, poor Carrie. You guys are jerks.
Yeah.
And also, Fat Joe would literally toast with toast. And to that I say, I love you, Fat Joe. Be my best friend.
I love a good toast, I have to say. And all this toast snobbery, I'm not about it. I just feel bad for Carrie because there was a challenge a few seasons ago where Padma was like, chefs, for this quick fire, we're going to take on a trend that has taken America by storm. Toast. And they all had to make toast. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I always think about it. I never have toast. Was Gail there? Well, even I'm sure she was there, like hiding under a table, eating crumbs as they fall off, like sesame seeds, according to Padma, at least.
Waiting for Padma to throw her crust under the table.
That's if you heard Padma say it. Look, we're turning into Padma. Now we're actually calling Gail that person that we always are like, we don't actually believe it. We just say that Padma believes it. And now I'm saying it as if I believe it.
I know. Well, you see, you get brainwashed with our own impersonations.
Yes.
That are full of false information.
Did you mean to shame Gail in the toast challenge?
Well, I knew that Gail was going to be back because they passed a sign and it said elevation 1-1-1-2-1-2-1-1-1-1. And I just heard Gail behind the sign going,
My God.
So if anybody doesn't believe that Luigi smells like feet, he's literally using his slippers as his headrest. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Case proven. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. The gang, the final three, which is Joe Sasto, Joe Flam, and Adrian LeBernardin. People were like, why do you call her someone said, why do you call her LeBernardin? But they spelled it like it was one of those things where they didn't really know what we're talking about. So they didn't parse out the word properly. So they spelled it like Leber and Dan. Like, why do you call her LeBernardin? And we're like, the reason is because in the beginning of the season, she talked about LeBernardin all the time.
Because we're both former TV recappers, and one of the big things in TV recapping back then, which I've learned from Ben, was just calling people by stupid nicknames. And once you've started a nickname, it just never goes away. I don't even know the girl's real name, LeBernardin. My brain won't even remember it because all I'm going to ever call her is Bernie or LeBernardin. That's it. Doesn't matter if it makes sense.
So they are all headed to Aspen for the Food and Wine Classic, and they arrive at the Viceroy Hotel. They're like, oh, what a lovely, lovely hotel, guys.
I just wrote it down in my journal that we're at this lovely hotel, which is amazing.
Yeah, I was writing in my journal, like, I'm enjoying staying at the Madeline, but I feel like we could do better. And now we're here at the Viceroy, and I feel like I'm finally staying at the hotels I want to stay at.
And this is why I miss Big Joe, because this guy calls out every single thing. What is it with chunky people that we always do that? It's like every little thing. You know, I guess it's from getting beat up in school. Although he's like a Mack truck. Who beat him up? But they call out every little thing. They're in this hotel room, and he's in a... Luigi's like, oh, like the view? And he's like, oh, yeah. I wonder which part of town we're staying in. Because they basically are in the basement.
Well, no, I think they were doing that because the shades were down, but there were, like, windows above the shades that you could see through, and they were making fun of Adrian for being short because she had to get out of chairs through it. It was not a great joke.
I thought they were making fun of the fact that they had basement windows. They had those really short windows that were at the top of the wall.
It was. It could have been. Honestly... the editors could have done a little bit of a better job, like, landing the punchline for us, because we saw Adrian, she got up on a chair, and then she's like, you guys are always making fun of how short I am. Either way, I thought it was Joe Sasto started that joke, and I thought it was kind of actually obnoxious, because he was like, I want to give Adrian Aspen View FOMO, you know?
Yeah, he's like, want to stand on this toast? I'm still not... tired of being a dick to Carrie, even though she's gone.
Yeah. Sure. I want Joe Sasto to go to Here's Looking at You in Los Angeles. It's in Koreatown. It's probably my favorite restaurant in the city at the moment. They do a toast with charcuterie cheese, and that toast... How do you say that? You know that cheese is like stracciatella or something? I
don't know. No, I'm with you.
But that toast is so, so amazing. It's like, if you have that toast, then you realize... why all of Joe Sasto's stupid dumplings are like don't compare in all these quickfires. That's why Carrie wins.
He's a little asshole with his toast comments anyway, but the fact that he actually used toast today.
We're going to get to that. I think it was perfect.
So I think all of America gasped at the same time when we saw Big Joe's wife because hotness.
Yeah. Yeah. Hillary.
Yeah. Hillary. His wife, Hillary.
I'm with her.
And he's so into the conversation. He's like, bye, click, honey. It's like, God, at least finish saying bye. You have a hot wife. Make an effort, dude.
He's like, I'm in the top three. She's like, what? Bye.
He's like, got your email. She's like, damn it. Why do you keep bringing that up?
And then he starts saying, you know, because there's only three people left, we are getting a lot of clips of kind of empty aspirational talk. Like, you know what? She reminds me of the bigger picture. I'm like really ready to like cook my own food. I just want to have my own shot. I'm ready for my own shot. I'm not going to give up my shot. And so it starts like rotating around in a circle.
Like, yeah. Okay, Hamilton. It's like, my name is Alexander Hamilton. No, it's not, sir. You're on Top Chef. So this really scared the shit out of me. We get to this lake, and I could have sworn it was Padma standing in the lake fishing. And I was like, don't do this to yourself. You're better than this, Padma.
Look at me, fly fishing. I'm just one of the crew here. Aren't I normal celebrities? They're just like us. Aren't I right?
Just kidding. I'm not. It was a lookalike. Look at me standing here on the ground with the cowboy hat.
Look, now I'm over here. How did I get there so fast? I don't know.
It's magic.
I'm here.
it's magic. The way that Chris Constantino can shove an entire fritter into his mouth with one gulp.
Isn't it hilarious how he's so much bigger every time we see him? Chris, you crack me up. You can get out of that fat suit now. No.
Chris, take off the Gale suit and get over here. It's time for the quick fire.
Chris, I'm afraid your fat suit isn't playing well with our finalists. I think we have to move on from it. Can you get out of it now, please? Thanks, Chris. No? Oh.
Welcome to your very last quick fire, chefs. It's Chris. And Luigi's like, hoo-hoo, he won Top Chef Masters. Toast.
Look around you. Any guesses what your last quick fire will be?
They're like, filleting a fat person.
they're like, no, that's why we're standing. Is it like a cowboy hat challenge? Oh, look, I'm wearing a cowboy hat. I'm just so rustic.
Are you sure you need another hint? We're at Gale Lazy Ranch.
Your next challenge is to recreate a pivotal scene from City Slickers. Go.
Your next challenge is watching Gail catch trout with her mouth. No, just kidding. That was my morning. Anyway, chefs.
Your next chefs. In accordance with our City Slickers promotional rule, your next challenge is to deliver Gale outside of from a cow. Your next challenge is to listen to Gale do her Jack Palance impersonation. Good luck. You're going to need it.
Jack Palance. Oh my God. She's like one-armed Gale. Gale ups. Gale ups.
So
basically, they have to go catch a fish.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to drag out. You know, because when Padma's not there, there's like nothing to talk about. So I have to drag out every single thing she says. Chefs, you have 45 minutes to cook a trout. And then Adrian goes, but there's a catch. You're right, Adrian. You have to catch your trout. Get it, Adrian?
And Adrian did. She's like, yo, wrote it down in my journal.
It took us 15 minutes to explain it to Gail. Bless her heart.
She would have been here, but she just couldn't take it.
If things go terribly wrong, we always have some canned trout for you to use. But we blurred that out because it's a disgrace, much like what Gail had for breakfast today.
Hey, guys, catch it. They're like, I'm not falling for that again, Padma. So she's like, and guess what your second challenge is? Movement. And they're like, oh no. They have to run to the lake. And watching them was the funniest thing. Watching Joe run with his fishing net has to be my favorite clip of the whole show.
Yeah, and that I didn't notice until you posted it. It was chefs and it looked like a Far Side cartoon, you know?
Yeah. They're just like, har, 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 but it's like those fishing nets.
So they all start fishing because they have 40 minutes to catch a fish and cook it, which seemed like very scary to me. And they kept on shading all the canned trout, like, oh, don't want to use the canned trout. I'm going to defend canned fish for a second here. Like, obviously, there's a lot of canned fish that's terrible, but, like, for instance, you can do a lot of delicious things with canned tuna, and more specifically, and more specific to this challenge, smoked trout that comes in a tin, they sell it at Trader Joe's, so it's not, like, even some highfalutin thing. You can get it at Trader Joe's. You can make a delicious stuff with that. So I am like, put away your smoked trout, canned smoked trout snobbery, chefs.
Yeah, you're shaming, you jerks.
Yeah.
Also, it wouldn't be covered in bear shit or whatever they got mad at later. And also, I made clam chowder last week, and I'm about to make it again this weekend.
Really?
And guess what you use? Clams. Canned clams. Because
really?
What are you going to go buy a ton of clams and like cook them and then...
I would 100%
not me, girl. Not me. Even the recipes are like, get a can.
Hey, if it works, it works. Like, if it's canned, works. But I like, there's a, believe it or not, I actually have a cookbook that I got at TJ Maxx while I was waiting in line. They're like, here's a $5 cookbook. We know you want it. And I was like, I'll get it. It's called like the Irish Pub Cookbook, which is like three things that should not be put together. But I got it anyway. And there is a recipe in there for like smoked mackerel pate, and I went to Trader Joe's and I just used the smoked trout, and you mix it with like horseradish and some other things, and it is absolutely delicious. So
yeah, and also
do that,
tuna fish,
chefs.
Jerks.
Yeah. Also, by the way, welcome to America. It's called tuna fish.
Yeah, no kidding. Welcome to my lunch like yesterday, jerks.
Yeah.
So they all have to go catch their fish. Joe's like, oh god, this is, I only know about fishing from a river runs through it, okay? Same abs. And his dad used to shame him because one time they were fishing and he caught a fish, but then the line broke and he had to catch it with his net, and his dad said, that's not catching a fish. Excuse you, sir.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen people get arrested with nets by the police and dragged into a truck? They still have to go to jail. It's caught. It's called being caught, Joe's
dad. If he pulled the fish out of the water, then he's caught it. I'm sorry. He has caught it. If the fish nibbles and gets away, you haven't caught it. But you caught the fish, and then there was like an incident, and the fish got away. But he caught it.
Yeah, and even if you catch it with the net, you still catch it.
Now I understand why Joe Flam moved in with his grandma. Asshole.
And now I understand why he got a hot girlfriend, because he's like, you will never believe what I went through as a kid. And she's like, oh, come here.
She like throws fish to him just to like help him do it. There, you caught
it. Gail
jumps
up and catches it.
He goes to like Pike Place Market in Seattle and has like traumatic memories, like of them as they're throwing fish around from stall to stall. No, daddy.
She's gonna leave him at the Red Lobster.
So Joe Sasto, of course, the asshole. I'm so mad at him today. Joe Sasto, he catches a fish first, but I'm like, there's no justice in this life. He caught a fish, stupid trout. And then, actually, no, I'm sorry, Joe Flam caught a fish first, then Joe Sasto. And then poor Adrian, she's like, oh, well, I guess I'll try again, because I hate canned fish so much. I'll just try again. Trout. Here, trouty, trouty, trout, trout, trout.
Yeah, like, poor thing. No one's taught her how to fish. You don't talk. That's like rule number one in fishy. Do not talk to the fishies when you're fishies. Okay? When you're fishing.
Is it the vibrations? Like,
yeah, they're not going to eat some vibrating worm. Okay? And especially one that's like trying to write things down in her journal and saying things like, come here, fishy. I'm going to make my own kind of fish, because I've been making other people's kind of fish. They're like, oh, shut up. I don't even want to go on your line.
I finally figured out my own way to bait a fish, and I'm sick of doing it Eric Repair's way. I'm doing it my way, and that's the way it's going to be. Elevated fish bait.
This fish is going to be broken down and repaired. I mean, damn it.
So with 20 minutes left, she finally gets her fish, and her plan is to do a barely cooked crispy skin trout. I feel like barely cooked is not a nice way of saying something.
Yeah, like, I feel you like they should just never say that.
I feel like, you know, I feel like in the food world, they just have fancy words to make things sound more appetizing, like crudo instead. Like, say crudo or tartare or sashimi. Don't say it's a barely cooked trout.
I know, poor thing. Well, she had like 2 seconds to get everything together.
Yeah.
And then Chris, so the judging comes up, and Chris comes over with Padma, and he's like, did you want to cook this fish? And I was like, excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
That please, is not your line.
Please let the master say it. Did you want to cook this fish? Oh, good. That feels so much better.
Padma wasn't really saying much this episode, though. I blame her Gale outfit and her gold eyelashes, or her gold eyelids. She was like, ow. Turns out, this hurts my eyes, and I can't talk.
I'm in a cowboy hat. I'm still wearing it. Still wearing it.
See a penny, save a penny on your eyes.
And so Chris is like, well, you know, there's an old saying, do you shit where you eat? Well, guess what? Bears do, and it taints the water. So you always have to cook your trout all the way through. And Padma's like, ain't that the truth? One time Gale tried trout sashimi, and she hallucinated for days. She had such a bad case of the gales. She thought she was Lang Lang performing at Carnegie Center.
Lang Lang.
Poor thing.
So she gets in trouble for like trying to food poison everybody bear poop or whatever. And Luigi's like, smiling. Smirking. Luigi is not the villain, Bow Bow. Okay? Bowser. Yeah.
Well, maybe he's been Waluigi all this time. I think that's the key. We've been calling him Luigi, but he's Waluigi.
Yeah, son of a bitch. So he's like, ding, ding, with his little stupid mustache.
So now, after Chris Cosentino is basically like, yeah, bears shit in the water, and it's in the trout, and you have to cook it out. Pam is like, can I eat this? Or do we just give it to Gale?
I like when they went over to Luigi and she goes, so, how was fishing? Like, jeez.
Did you get the fly caught in your mustache? It looks ridiculous, by the way.
How did you grow more facial hair from the time you went to the lake till the time you came back here?
Why does your neck smell like your feet?
So there, he made smoked trout with roulette and berry glaze or something, corn cake
and whatever. Yeah.
Oh yeah, this was the fritter, right?
Yeah, there's like a corn cake situation.
I don't know why this cracks me up that Chris just like chomped down that whole fritter. Or was that Fat Joe? I don't remember.
I don't know. There's so many Joes and Christophers. It was like being in mass on a Sunday. So Joseph is like, so then Joe Flam served like a pan seared trout, and Pam is like, how long did you smoke this fish for? And he's like, I didn't smoke the fish. Oh, I just must be still smelling that bear shit off of Adrian's fish.
Did you mean to make me look stupid?
Well, I don't understand why this is smoking. Your cowboy hat's on fire, Padma. Oh.
Did you mean to break my mountain, broke, Joe? So Luigi's like, because now Padma didn't know whether it was smoked or not, so Luigi's like, oh my god, I so won. He's got this, like, I won little girl face. I just want to smack him, okay?
Yeah.
And guess who wins? Fat Joe. Oh yeah.
Padma goes, oh, yeah. The winner, or Chris, he said, the winner is someone who really embraced the fish and made it feel as special as it truly was, Joe Flam. And I'm just like, imagine they just cut to Joe Flam embracing a trout. Like, you're my special trout. No, you're special trout. Don't die. Don't die. Get him to the water.
And the trout's marrying him. We're like, god damn, he's smooth. I like when Chris goes, you know, even though Luigi did a fun play on Frontier, complete with a saloon mustache, he's like, you did a really fun play on Frontier cuisine. It's like, okay, saloon
Adrian, I'm sorry. I won't say yours tasted like shit, but we have to imagine it tasted like shit because you cooked it in shit water, Adrian.
Get it? Chris is like, even the girl who cooked in shit water had crispy skin, Fat Joe. And he's like, yeah, she could definitely teach me a thing or two about fish skin. And then Laverna Dan's face just falls. She's like, wait a minute. Are they dissing me? Like, am I the new Carrie? What is happening here?
I just want to listen. You got to take risks on Top Chef, so I want to cook all my trout in shit water from now on.
Oh my god! You're frying it in bear poop water.
Did you mean to take a commercial break right now?
Oh my gosh! So let's
chefs,
see here.
Please follow me.
Like, ta-da! No more running.
Ta-da!
Did you mean to my Todd?
Chefs, this is the only challenge that stands between you and the finale. Well, I mean, there's the other challenges. Getting around Gail Simmons after she's had a few too many ribs. But that's unofficial.
So it's cauldrons. Which is hilarious to me. Because she's like, look. They're big pot things in the middle of the wilderness. Anybody? Like cauldrons? She's like, yeah.
We call them cowboy cauldrons.
We call them cereal bowls for Gail.
We call them the Gail Simmons fried egg starter kit.
So they have to make a vegetarian dish, and they have to do it in this thing, and they have to do it for the Food and Wine Festival in Aspen, Colorado, where we are right now. So
she goes, by the way, she does a full Padma for us. I mean, Padma's really being Padma. She goes, you'll be cooking for 200 guests at the Aspen Food and Wine, blah, blah, blah. And also, guest judge, my dear friend, Danielle Ballude. I was like, I can't believe she said my dear friend. We've been saying and my dear friend, Gail Simmons, for years.
Then she gave everybody else secondary billing. She's like, my dear friend, Danielle Ballude-boo, plus others such as
Curtis Stone. Curtis Jackson. I don't know who Curtis Jackson is, but
Steve
he'll be
Harvey.
Here.
Pat Sajak.
My cleaning lady.
Oh. So, yeah. So, Grover. How did Curtis Stone not get cut out of the show? I mean, I think that if anybody would have gotten caught up in this year, that have been men getting caught, Curtis Stone would have been there. He just seems like a pig to me.
Well, guess what?
But alas,
it was not him. Good for him.
Guess what? Curtis Stone is not a woman abuser. So that's good.
So she's like, chefs, one more thing. For your challenge, you cannot use any, there'll be no protein. It must be vegetarian on a cowboy cauldron. And they're all like, oh, wow. I think it's hilarious that they always get, like, thrown off by the idea of doing something vegetarian. It's actually a shame that Carrie didn't make it to this challenge because she would have just kicked ass.
Oh, she would have killed this.
It's so, I mean, maybe we're lucky because we live here in Los Angeles where there are some really phenomenal vegetarian offerings here. Restaurants are either vegetarian or vegan or just restaurants that have really delicious vegetable forward things. But these guys were like, I guess I'll grill zucchini, whatever. I'm surprised they're just so baffled by it. Just having no protein.
I mean, consistently, every single time, they're terrified.
Every
like Anthony time. Bourdain on Anthony Bourdain hates anybody who's vegetarian. hates it with words. He's like, that sucks. You're an idiot. I hate vegetarians. Wow. Okay.
Wow. But it's like you can still make a vegetable dish that's like really awesome. It doesn't have to be like a scary thing, you know?
Yes, like ice cream. Am I right, Jeff?
Yeah.
So, speaking of, they come out with Carrie, because Carrie made that ice cream in a hole that time. So they come out with, they're like, don't worry, you will have a set of extra hands. Not you, Gail, get off of me. Gail's like coming up from behind the cauldron.
Gail, that doesn't mean you get to have more ice cream sandwiches.
So it's Bruce, Amish Chris, and Carrie. So Carrie's like, ha-ha, it's me, Carrie, guys, hi! Yeah. Like, so
she's
excited
like,
to be back.
Hi! Bruce is doing his like video game walk, you know, because he if as much as we call Joe Sasso Luigi, Bruce actually walks like Mario. He's like, so yeah, I'm expecting
if he
him to
stands
jump
there for
coin.
Too long, if you just leave him standing there for too long, he's like,
yeah, I was surprised I didn't hear music. I went da 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 when he walked in.
Shake controller to move faster. Shake controller to move faster. So they come out, and since Big Joe was the winner, he gets to pick, and he picks Carrie. And she's like, I'm local. I get it, cauldron. I get it. We used to make ice cream in those. I get it.
Yeah,
totally with
you. Wait, what?
My dad used to make ice cream in those. Totally get the cauldron.
So he puts Bruce with Adrian, and he gives Amish to Sasso because he doesn't want since Bruce does Italian food, he doesn't want that with Sasso. It'll be just too powerful, too good. Which I thought was a strong move. I thought that was smart.
Yes, and Carrie's like, what's the plan, Stan? Which makes me love Carrie so much more. I mean, I love her so much.
Yeah, so now they're starting to figure out what they're going to do. And Joe Sasto is like, I want to do a play on a caprese salad. Like, I like the idea of eggplant, but I want to turn it into a fritter, you know? And I'm like, first of all, that doesn't sound anything like a caprese. Second of all, is this what keeps him up at night? Like, I like the idea of an eggplant, but I want to turn it into a fritter.
Carrie's like, that's what keeps me up at night. I dreamt of a tater tot making love to an eggplant and then giving birth to grape jelly. So explain that one.
Joe Sasso's like, water made with fennel, but we put in yellow beets, but also a yogurt sauce. And then I'm like, okay, still not seeing caprese in this.
Yeah, he had no ideas. And didn't he tell us his girlfriend's a vegetarian and he steals vegetables from behind the thing?
Yeah, he does forage.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. So, Bruce, of course, well, this is also the first time we get the Big Joe story of, my dad used to grill little zucchinis, right, and we'd eat them right off the grill. And he said that about 30,000 times.
Does it count as a grilled vegetable if you pull it right off the grill instead of plating it? Dad!
Yeah, it's like you eat them right off the grill. It's like, how is that different?
Does that mean that the dish is done, Dad? Does it mean, it never plated it, so was it ever done?
Did you mean to skip the plate, Joe? So Bruce, of course, is Bruce, and he's like, here's what I would do, and he just starts vomiting out words.
Yeah.
And Laverne Dan is like, well, I don't want him to control every single thing in my dish, and yet you ended up with a pasta looking thing made out of like a leaf of whatever.
He does actually, you know, he does suggest some sort of, she's gonna do a corn pudding, and he's like, well, do you want to wrap it in pasta? And it's like, can you just
the music stopped?
Yeah. Even though, like, the person doing the score was like, I'm not gonna press play on the royalty free music until we take this in for a second.
Oh, it's a full record scratch. It's like, it's like the pasta record scratch. And she's like, I'm gonna stand up to him, and then she never does. And I think they basically made what he wanted.
Well, this is when I started to get scared, because this is when she started to really hammer home this idea of like, I don't want to play it safe anymore. I'm doing my food. I'm not going to play it safe. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not playing it safe. That's not what I'm going to do. Playing it hard, I will do that, but not safe. I'm like, okay, you've said playing it safe. You don't want to play it safe too much, so much that I'm convinced you're going home.
Yes, because this has been her journey, and you pointed out every week, like, I'm almost ready to do my own food. Almost. Almost, and now she's like, I'm ready to do my own food, and Chopped. Get out.
So now they go shopping, and Joe Sasto is like, I just don't have a clear vision. I think I just want to showcase one or two vegetables instead of a variety, so I'm going to do a beet yogurt with summer vegetable salad. I'm like, a summer vegetable salad? That's multiple vegetables.
I know, this guy really came off as himself today, a twat. Okay, he's like, oh yeah, you know, because before today, like, I just knew how to do so many things, you know, so many tricks in my bag, if you will. I'm like, oh, here he fucking goes again, this guy. And he's like, but I didn't know when or why I was doing them, and now I just don't know what I'm gonna do. You see the difference? I'm like, no. And then Carrie goes, don't tease me, but my dad would build a cowboy cauldron.
Just for the fun of it. And then I'd hop in and go sledding down the mountain.
Oh my goodness. So they go to check out at Whole Foods, and Luigi's like, yes, the price is right. Like, you are the only person who's ever said that at checking out at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, exactly. I hope he didn't buy a box of those soulless animal Cheerios. that cereal that's like not Cheerios, but it's like there's like a monkey on it just with empty eyes.
Yes, you really hate like a random puffed cereal.
Give me the bumblebee from Honey Nut Cheerios. Does that bee even have a name after all these years? I don't think he has a name, does he?
No.
It's probably
actually,
like Robert.
No, and now
it's
I'm
probably
furious.
Very dignified. Robert.
Robert. Terrence.
Terrence. Wait, I gotta look him up. I'm gonna look with the Honey Nut Cheerios bee. Does he have a name? I'm sure he has a name.
Yeah, it's probably like B, you know.
Aggressive. B-E aggressive. B, where's the me? The bee did not have a name until 2000 when Christine Tong, a fifth grade student from Coolidge, Texas, won a national contest and named the bee, dubbing him Buzz Bee. B-U-Z-Z, capital
B. Oh my God.
It's a little too on the nose.
Excuse me. She won a contest, okay?
Well, listen. I don't care. I like his name being either Terrence or Robert.
Robert Busby. Now there's a fancy name if I've ever heard one.
Wait a second. Is this true? Wait a second. Am I reading this? Honey Nut Cheerios pulled its bee mascot because bees are disappearing. Now that's just ridiculous.
Way to make just one more bee disappear. You think you're helping anybody?
They didn't get rid of him. They just made him like a white cutout and it says help bring back the bees. Never mind.
In our Honey Nut Cheerios. While you guys are
anywho, so ooh. Guess what? Guess who's not playing it safe? Adrian, I'm making a southern corn pudding with coconut milk and some champagne. It's gonna be elevated, and I realized this is my voice, elevated southern cuisine. And you know that Chris is probably like,
and then Luigi's like, instead of beef carpaccio, I'm making beet carpaccio.
I'm like, that's original. I haven't seen that before. Beet carpaccio.
And he's also bought sourdough bread to use toast as an accent, which is just pathetic because he's not even going to make like a real toast. He's just making like a literal plain piece of toast. And then he goes, hey, Carrie, I'm making beet toast. And she's like, like, way to diss Carrie. You're such a jerk. I don't like him.
She was probably laughing because she's like, ha, you call that toast? Ha! Now you'll see how hard it is, you little bitch.
You wouldn't be able to be a local here, sir.
Just kidding.
Enjoy your toast, your air quote toast in your air quote cowboy cauldron. I say air quote because some of us are using a homemade one from Dad.
So funny when people from the big city think that toast is just literally toast.
We saw some elk.
Yeah. And then
so,
and Fat Joe's like, you know, Luigi, elk and deer are the same thing. It's just that over 5,000 feet elevation, an elk becomes a deer or some shit. And they all started laughing, and I was like, I think I'm too gay for this joke.
Yeah, is that altitude sickness kicking in, that elk humor? I want to look this up because I feel like it's so stupid. I feel like it's not true, but I just can't do this right now. So Adrian is, I'm just gonna swing for the fences, but I'm realizing I'm a little bit behind. And just her luck, in walks in Tom and Neil Lumatop, Tom, the editor-in-chief of Food & Wine magazine.
She's a ripoff Gail. I'm not behind Neely yet.
Well, don't worry. She's no longer with the magazine.
Oh, snap. Bye. Sorry, your audition failed. Bye, Milu.
Well, because Food & Wine moved down to Birmingham, Alabama from New York, and she was like, I'm not going there, so she quit. I was like, yes, Neely.
I'm sorry I woofed at Birmingham, Alabama. I've never been there. Fine. I don't know.
It's fine. It's just not
a place
for Neely.
I just can't imagine Neely there.
She's a very proud editor. And she will walk up the little staircase onto her bed.
Because Neely's Sonia Morgan's dead dog that she had cremated, and then it blew in everybody's face when she threw it in the water.
Chefs, I'd like to introduce you to Neely Muhammad. She's like Gail, but skinnier and not always asking for an egg.
Ooh, that's how I felt. I felt very defensive. I was like, do not try and re-sleeve Gail, okay? I will not have it, people.
No one can compete with our Gail. Gail's an original.
So Bernadette is making, you know, whatever. And Tom's like, so why are you making this dish this close to the end? And she's like, well, you gotta let your balls hang out at some point. And he's like, whoa, 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 look at that. Wow, oh.
Well, he's like, he looks down and he's like, oh, I guess you're right. My balls are actually hanging out of my pants right now. Sorry about that. That scared away all the elk, huh?
Do you think he's trying to fuck with her? Why does he talk to her so long? She can't get her work done because he's just standing there. He won't shut up. I think he's trying to impress New Gale.
This is like the first time the editors have ever been shady to Tom, because he's just going on and on. He's like, well, you know, in a restaurant, there's a system. You know, the thing is with garlic bread, and they just do one of those montages where they keep like cross-dissolving into a different part of the conversation. And Adrian's like,
And he actually says at one point, he goes, you know, it's like when you're surfing, it's like a wave against your surfboard. And she's like, okay, I'm done. And he's like, here, there's no team. And she's like, finally, I just walked away.
Yeah. Let's do Tom talking to Adrian. Well, it's like, I'll just talk and then you can just crossfade into your part of the conversation. Okay. Well, it's like when you're connecting Ethernet, you know, Ethernet, it goes into a certain port, but it doesn't always work every time. You know, sometimes you want to go wireless.
It's like if it was raining outside and there was just one drop of rain and you're like, wait, where's all the rest of the rain? Why is it only one drop of rain? Am I right?
And so I said, this is a Toyota Camry. I thought it was a Lexus for sure. But they've really updated the model very well.
They call them building blocks, but are you building things with the blocks, or are they building buildings, or are they just blocks?
And
you
apparently know? There's been a lot of controversy over whether Bambi was elk or deer.
Socks. Crocs. Do they rhyme because they go together, or they should they never be seen on the same foot?
Huh? So huh? After 3 months, I finally got a letter back, and it turns out the reason why there's a crocodile in those polo shirts...
I have to know the end. I can't even crossfade. I would get fired from this show if I was an editor. I'd be like, no, Tom, tell me the rest.
No, but that's when Adrian goes, all right, well, I actually have to get back to my
she
corn
just walks
pudding
away. Oh my God, you're going to kill me.
Sorry.
So Tom goes up to Luigi and he's like, so, Nilu, you're a very proud Gail, what do you think of this? And she's like, whoa, so you're doing beet in lieu of meat. I was like, fire her. Get rid of her. I want her out.
Yeah. Listen, can we... I used to have a subscription to Food & Wine. I had to stop because they had that really annoying layout where you couldn't tell what was like a 5-page advertisement and what was an actual article. And it just all seemed like all the articles looked like ads. And it drove me nuts. And I finally was like, fuck this magazine. My subscription. So, Nilu, can you focus on fixing that, please? Thanks.
Yeah, you get to the end of a 5-page recipe and it's like, and then add a box of Sara Lee cake. It's like, wait a minute.
All the profiles. It was like the... I actually hated the magazine. But, you know, Cooks Illustrated is where I'm at.
I was reading about dream homes on Pinterest.
Oh, okay.
And it took me to, like, little tiny homes, you know? And it took me to, like, this tiny home page, and it would show the tiny page and then, like, an ad for a house. And it was tricking me. I didn't know which one was which either. I can't even read the damn
thing. Please tell me you don't want to move into a tiny home. You know, I'm, like, morally opposed to tiny homes.
I just love the show. I love little tiny homes.
I
love seeing the shows about them.
It gives me anxiety. I feel like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Ben, have you met me? I'm a big man who rides a tiny little bike. I used to drive a Fiat. Okay. I look like a fucking giant in that car.
No, but a tiny home is tiny. It's really tiny. Like, it's like you have like a very, you know, like a, you have a small apartment, you know, and you, a tiny home is smaller than that.
I like feeling like Hagrid everywhere I go. I just like, because Hagrid's so warm to Harry Potter, you know?
Well,
I
Ronnie,
just like
you'll have to climb up a ladder to get to your bed every night.
I love that. I used to do that in Brooklyn when I lived in Williamsburg.
I thought you were going to be like, oh no, I don't want to go up a ladder.
No, I mean, it was exercise, but when I got to the top, I'm like, look everyone, I did it, and I carried my dog. They're like, congratulations.
Please don't get a tiny home, please.
I just throw up. I can't buy a home. Who are you talking to?
A tiny home you could probably get. They cost, what, $10?
Do not tell me that. Do not tell me that, because you know, I will save up.
The key is probably where do you put the tiny home?
San Bernardino.
Oh, God. It's going to get blown over.
I was looking at these for 4 hours yesterday, I'm telling you.
Please don't like make this worse for yourself than it has to be. If you're going to get a tiny home, don't put it in San Bernardino.
I want to be where the people are.
Somewhere that's weird. San Bernardino is not where you want to be.
Somewhere that's very, very... I want to spend $20 on a home. That's all I have to my name. I want $20.
If you get a tiny home, like, just plop it on someone's backyard, like in the hills.
You live in a penthouse now. You have all that outdoor space.
I live in a Luann penthouse, wherein I get to say I'm in the penthouse, but... I'm on the fourth floor, and there's like five other built. There's like a normal amount of apartments up here. I just happen to be on the top.
My shipping crate will fit. Okay, I measured it last time.
Put you in the building courtyard.
Dom comes out, I'll be like, "Hi, Dom, it's me, your neighbor, Ronnie, the tiny penthouse."
Tiny penthouse. Anywho, so Joe Sasto is putting embers in beet liquid and being
No. That is a carcinogen, sir. He's literally putting carcinogens in their food, and then they're like, "Great, that was delicious."
They're like, yeah. "It's like okay, so we avoided the shit water, and now you're gonna give us carcinogen water."
And wet then, with carcinogen water.
And meanwhile, there's like 6 minutes before everything has to be ready, and Adrian's like, "Oh, my tempura batter isn't working." I'm like, "Thanks, Bruce." And then she's like, "And my lime pearls aren't working." I'm like, "Thanks, Bruce." She's like, "And my corn pudding's too soft." I'm like, "Thanks, Bruce. What the fuck is wrong with this?"
Yeah, exactly, because everything that was failing, she's like, "Well, Bruce, you need to put a little more flour, maybe." Oh God, Bruce is trying to kill me.
So she's gonna char the shishito, which I'm like, Adrian, I'm rooting for you at this point. I think because I like Joe Flam also.
I'm rooting for her. I'm rooting for both. I love them.
But
both.
I'm also like, shouldn't you have been charring the shishito all along? I mean, you have a whole cowboy cauldron back there.
Yeah, but I don't think shishitos take that long. Yeah, I eat them a lot in Texas. My mom's friends make them, and they're amazing.
Well, there are some delicious shishito peppers at Here's Looking at You, which I mentioned earlier. I just want everyone to go to Here's Looking at You. I just love it. And it's my friend's restaurant. So I want, I love supporting my friend in this situation, but I also love it because it's an amazing restaurant.
Is it a tiny restaurant?
It is a little bit on the tiny side, but it's larger than a tiny home. I'm sure we can find a small seat for you, though.
I'm in. Okay, so next, everybody shows up, right? Because they've been cooking already.
Yeah.
So the guests all start showing up, and it's the Voltaggio brothers. Oh, Brooke.
And Padma.
Clear them. We've seen them already. Clear them. Get rid of them.
Padma looks like she's doing a goth update of the famous Coca-Cola commercial. She's like, "I'd like to buy Gail Simmons a Coke and watch her guzzle it down."
And Gail's like, "I will not be called a slob anymore by Padma. I'm wearing a Padma dress." It's like this leather boob dress that she can easily wipe off in case she drips anything down. And it was weird. This is where I thought they've really changed outfits. Padma's dressed kind of like a hippie.
Yeah.
And this girl's dressed like Padma. And then they just kind of gave each other frozen eyes the whole time, which I loved.
And Nilu Matamba was just taking all their energy and just bringing it into her. She's like, "I will become both of them."
But not in Birmingham.
Yes. This is where my power ends.
So Luigi is the one who's tasted first. And Brooke goes, "Whoa, that is super beady."
Yeah.
I like that.
Brooke from last season. Won last season. Yeah. Super beady. Super beady. Yeah. So they're tasting it because he made a beet carpaccio with beet yogurt. And Gail is like, it doesn't really eat cohesively. You know, the Padma was probably like, "Gail, you must know something about that. Like that time you tried to eat cornflakes with
stop projecting onto your food. Stop projecting onto your food, Gail." And then Gail does my favorite thing. She gets like totally furious and she goes, "And you know what? Look, I have a problem. If you're gonna give us toasted bread, butter it or oil it." I'm like, "Whoa, Gallagher, where'd you come from?" I was like, when did Gail turn into Gilbert Gottfried over there?
Yeah, I love it. She's like, "Butter it, oil it, put something on it." You just imagine Pat being like, "Okay, Gail, calm down.
Calm down, Gail. All the butter, maybe they would have had some left, Gail."
Bless her heart. She gets so fired up off of the stupidest things. Just then, toast, Gail.
Let it go, Gail. Literally. Gail, let my fork go, Gail. Gail, this is my bite, Gail.
Does anyone have any Russian dressing for Gail? She needs to slather something on this piece of bread. And Brian Voltaggio, he's like eating the toast somewhere else in this festival. He's like, "The bread is like an in-between toast." I was like, is that supposed to be a good thing?
Yeah, who knows, coming from a Voltaggio. Yeah. I don't know what they're talking about.
It's a barely cooked toast. Chris Constantino's like, "I'm sorry, you have to cook your toast all the way because it was..." There's bears that shit in this air, and we have to forget it.
And then Daniel Boudelagidouidlele. Daniel Boudelé, yeah.
Balud.
Balud. See, I'm ignorant. He's like, "The bread needed nourishment, eh?" I'm like, okay. Yes, butter.
Yeah, anything, really. Anything. So now they all try Adrian's charred corn pudding wrapped in Swiss chard. Oh, I get it. I didn't get it until just now.
I literally didn't either, and I wrote Chard down twice too. So
see, I thought I would. We're gonna char something, but then we're gonna actually put it in. It's gonna be charred, but then it's also gonna be in charred. Get it?
Also, Shishido, our new guest judge, he's trying to be like Gail. My name is Nilu. Whatever.
Does anyone have a baked potato for Nilu? So they're like, so before they serve it, Bruce tells Adrian, he's like, they're gonna love it. They're gonna love it. I was like, oh yeah, like Fatima's nachos. Underminer.
Yeah, you dick. You yeah. little undermining little piece of shit, Bruce. We're watching you, okay? We see what you're doing with your light flower. So Laverne Dan is next. Yeah, like you said, sorry about that.
Yeah.
And then Curtis Stone, who apparently hasn't abused anybody. I'm still shocked. He's like, you know, I really like the coconut and corn. I like that. Everybody else? And Gail goes, it's really delicate.
But then Gail goes, I feel like she missed an opportunity to go bolder with the char. Pam is probably like, says the woman who still drives a 2002 Toyota Corolla. Am I right, everyone? Bless your heart.
Hey, anybody want a rollerblade with Gail?
Anyone want to do embroidery with Gail? She's so bold.
Hey, everybody. Gail likes scrunchies. Ooh, bold.
Gail Bold Simmons is about to start a marathon of Yes, Dear. Who wants to join?
Yes, Dear. So let me see. So the judges come up to her table, and there's Jonathan Waxman is there, who just comes Jonathan off as Waxman. The biggest prick.
I love Jonathan show. Waxman. I love Jonathan Waxman. He's my favorite.
He seems like a very talented person, but he really comes off as a prick to me on this show. He doesn't to you?
No, he probably is one, because I think in the past, he's always like, he's always like, we spend half the year in Paris, and we come back and check in on the restaurant and go back to Paris. I'm like, okay, you're probably is a jerk, but I just tell me about him. I really, really love. But anyway, yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I like him. It's just he comes off as a jerk. But I think I'm also very defensive because at this point, of course, I've been rooting for Laverne and Dan.
Yeah.
And it's kind of offensive because all the male judges come up and start talking to Bruce. Yeah. And they all know Bruce, which we've known this whole show that he knows everybody. But she's like, you know, I hate to say it, but when people see male and female, of course they just go right up to the male and just assume that he's the chef, you know? Yeah. And I was like, of course it's Waxman. Of course. Yeah.
And you know what? I think that Top Chef for its next season, I think it would be interesting if they actually address the Me Too thing doesn't have to be like on the nose, but really like highlight female chefs, because in the kitchen, in restaurants is where Me Too, like, it's really bad there. Like, it's the entertainment industry. It's there. I mean, everywhere. But, like, you know, the
dominated industry.
I do hope the show addresses it in some interesting way, you know?
Well, this time they addressed it in a super interesting way by just cutting everybody out and recording voiceovers over.
Yeah.
But exactly. I found it sad that they did that on a year that's probably the lightest on female guest judges that they've had in a long time.
Oh, I haven't even thought about that. Yeah.
Or, I mean, have there really been that many at all? I can't think of hardly any.
I know. Where's Michelle Bernstein? She usually shows up.
I was probably know when she wanted to bone with her eyes. I love when she shows up and she's like, oh, Marcel. Oh, yeah.
So anyway, people are they're eating Adrian's food, but it seems like no one loves it. They seem to like it, but not love it, you know? So I'm getting concerned. I'm getting very, very concerned.
I'm concerned for Ludo. What happened to his agent? One minute he's like the star of that food show that I loved on NBC, The Taste, that got canceled.
Oh, God.
He was on it with Anthony Bourdain and, oh, God, what is her name? I have to know it now.
The guy from Top Chef. Oh, yeah, Nigella. And then
Nigella, yes.
And then the guy, Brian, what was his name, Malarkey?
He was on it for a second.
He's so bad.
Oh, yeah. But Ludo is an extra now on Top Chef. Like, he gets one line this whole time, and he's like, oh, I love it. I love the spice. It's like, okay, well, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Get out now.
So Joe Flam now serves up his grilled baby zucchini with charred mushroom vinaigrette and some hazelnuts and stuff like that. And there's a lot of concern that maybe he went too rustic. And so we don't know if this gamble is going to play out. But it seems like it's going well because Pama tries. She goes, wow, this is the first time I'm really getting smoke. Oh, wait, it's just Gail's dress is on fire. Just like my cowboy hat was before. Look how this happens over and over again.
Gail's like, I was really curious about the cheese because you just put so much on it, but it really grounded the flavor.
Yeah, it's grounded you too, Gail. Good luck ever taking off. Have some more cheese, Gail.
So Danny Meyer is like, normally I hate hazelnuts, but I loved these. So things seem to be going well, though. Tom's like, oh, I don't know why you did a baby zucchini. We could have just done a big zucchini instead of a baby zucchini, because a big zucchini has more flavor. I don't know.
Well, it's such a baby.
Yeah. I love when Tom gets hung up on something really random like that. Like, there was that one episode a few seasons ago when someone served Coco Van and they did not use an old hen. They just used, like, a normal chicken. And he was like, if you're going to do Coco Van, you got to use an old hen. I don't know why you didn't use an old hen. It's not an old hen.
This one, he really did have a thing against the tiny phallic object, but it did look hilarious when they showed his dish and it's just this tiny baby zucchini with stuff on top.
Yeah. Yeah. So then at the end of it, Padma excuses everyone. She's like, thank you for being here. And Ela's like, oh, I'm so happy for getting to be here. And Padma's like, no, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Gail. Bye, Gail. Thanks for being here. Bye.
So they get to the judges' table, and Gail has extra bitchy face today. She's like, I have missed a few episodes in a row, and someone is going to get it about that.
Unbuttered, unoiled toast.
I'm just glad it wasn't served at 18,000 feet above sea level. My God. And Danielle is like, flavor was great. The seasoning was on point. Because he can't say points. Is on point.
He's so cute, that guy.
He is really super cute.
He seems like this one of the sweetest guys who's ever come on that show.
He's such a talented chef. He's so, like... He's like one of the tops.
The top chefs?
One of the top chefs.
It's like, no, I will not do top shit. Oh, master. Oh, baby zucchini. Oh, the bread needs nourishment.
It's like, but he even feels for the bread.
Yeah, but Tom was still a little bummed. He's like, well, I mean, it was good, but, you know, I thought it was a missed opportunity with the char. Like, there wasn't any char. Like, why didn't anyone make any Arctic char on the char with Swiss char? It seemed like Adrian was getting there, but didn't do it.
And Gail's like, Le Bernardin, your dish was incredible. Incredibly creative today. I was like, uh-oh.
Now yeah, what's creative. That's something you don't want to hear.
Yeah, because Gail's smiling, and I'm like, uh-oh, no. This is not good when Gail smiles at you like that. And she goes, I just wanted more smoky cauldron flavor.
Gail, just have another cup of noodles. Bless her heart. Sometimes Gail just puts liquid smoke on her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, so just disregard that comment from her.
Gail, get the straw out of the liquid smoke.
Gail, do you want us to make another liquid smoke milkshake? Would that make you happier? We can do that.
Bernadette tries to stick up for herself. She's like, well, you know, like, I did want to do rustic like you guys wanted, but, you know, it's food and wine. Like, I don't want it to be too rustic. And then Gail goes, well, I still didn't get the char, despite the work that you put into it. So I was like, what are you, HR now?
Charred work pays off. Get it? Huh? So then Danielle, they go to Joe Sasso's dish. And Danielle's like, well, I thought dish was interesting. I was like, ooh, ouch. Interesting? No, that's good. I was like, oh, my God. If he goes home for bad toast, this will be the most divine justice this show has ever seen.
That son of a bitch. Not only does he do toast, he does plain fucking toast. That's screw like, you and the boat you came in on, Luigi, okay?
Yeah.
And Gail's like, hey, Luigi, your yogurt was inspired and I love embers.
We know, Gail.
Embers, what's that? Is that a new fast food chain, Gail? Bless her heart.
Is embers the new word for everything, Gail?
Is that the slang? Is that Canadian slang for anything, whether it's cooked or not?
And Tom's like, well, you know, you had two things happening. You had something over there and then a carpaccio over there. And you know what you didn't do? You didn't knit together well. And, you know, what's really important in a kitchen is knitting. Okay? Okay, knitting. Learn to knit.
So I'm just like just going crazy at this point.
He is nitpicking. Get it?
Laverne and Dan's like,
that was a good one. So everyone feels like Flam in the journal. I want to start telling my own jokes though. So Flam is they say that he really embraced the challenge and they really generally loved it. But then Tom's like, but it's a baby zucchini. Like, why? Why baby zucchini? Like, why do you have a baby zucchini? Like, why do you have an adult zucchini, huh? Yeah.
I mean, that story you told like 20 times about your dad eating straight off the grill. First of all, ouch, my fingers. Second of all, oh, why baby zucchini, huh?
Yeah. And for the record, you never did catch that fish. So, anyway. So they are now, like, figuring it out. Whatever. So now it's time for debating. And they're, like... In the stew room, Joe Sasso goes, huh, this is the point where I wish it were cumulative. I was like, ew, you're so cocky. So
you
cocky.
You really are. He's like, I just wish it was about the bag of tricks. Disgusting, disgusting boy. I don't like you.
And so Padma's so talk about Joe Sasso's thing, and she's like, I really liked Joe Sasso's yogurt sauce. And Gail's like, I really like the gooseberries, but I never got the grilled char flavor from the grill at all. You can just imagine Padma be like, well then why don't you just stick your mouth on the grill and lick it, Gail?
I mean, again.
How many times did we get it, Gail? You didn't get the char. What do you want from us, Gail?
And then Padma's like, I love the creativity of Adrian. And Tom goes, you know, I didn't get any real wood flavor. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Okay, you gave them a cauldron, not a pizza oven. Like, what's wood fire pizza oven? What are you complaining about?
And Gail's like, regarding Flam, the baby zucchini, she's like, it felt so tight on that plate. Really, Gail? You want me to go there? You want to talk about tightness, Gail? Why don't you ask the staff at TJ Maxx how they feel about your dress selections, Gail? Zing! Glad I got that off my chest at last.
Can I ask an honest question out of ignorance?
Yeah.
It's not about TJ Maxx, don't worry. I know everything there is to know about that. But the cauldrons, aren't they fired from underneath? Why is everybody saying it like you should have a smoked flavor?
They were cowboy cauldrons, so I think they were essentially like grills. I think they had the remember they were putting their coals inside. It should be smoky like a grill.
Forgot.
Yeah, it wasn't like a cauldron, like a witch's cauldron. It was a cowboy cauldron.
I know, suddenly I'm picturing witches.
Yeah.
So let's see, alone time, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so Padma brings them all out, and then Padma does that thing where she's like, I'm Padma, who has feelings today, chefs. And they're like, aw. And she's like, all of you have worked so hard this season.
Especially you, Gail, still nibbling on that bone from episode 3.
No one has worked as hard as Gail. On that back tooth, she got some spinach caught in.
Little does she realize that every afternoon when she takes that nap and her mouth is just gaping open with saliva coming out, we put in a new piece of spinach. She's so confused, bless her heart.
Padma would too. She'd be like, hold it open, Tom.
Don't worry, you won't wake her up. She had 3 turkeys.
Gail is so Gail that the turkeys get tired when she eats them.
That's what I call a case of the Gails.
Case of the Gills. Wait, hold on. I don't want to have a lung collapse. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm back.
I wasn't getting the char off that breath, Ronnie.
So Tom's like, well, you know, I'd love to see all 3 in the finale, but you know how this game works. Okay, Tom. As if you don't change the rules anytime you feel like it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Last Chance Kitchen. Whoop. We got another one. Well, it turns out it's Steven from 7 years ago. Steven? So Padma does the fake out thing where she's like, Fat Joe.
What's love? Am I right?
You're moving on. You won this challenge. Ha ha. Ha ha ha.
Lean back, Fat Joe. Get it? That's a hip hop reference.
And Fat Joe's like, whoa. I just literally almost had a heart attack. Hold on.
Yeah, he starts jumping around and Tom starts cracking up. I don't know if he knows Tom. He starts covering his mouth and his face because he's laughing so hard.
Tom, now what?
Oh, sorry.
Nothing.
So now it's down to...
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing, Ben.
Gail, speak up now or... Oh, never mind. Don't speak, Gail. I'm just not in the mood to have crumbs sprayed on my forearm.
Forever hold your peas, am I right, Gail?
You know, if you tie Gail's hands behind her back, she wouldn't be able to talk. You know what I'm saying? She uses her hands so much.
Oh my god, I have to add, we love Gail.
We love Gail. Okay, do the disclaimer.
Oh my god. We love Gail, and she's so tiny and skinny.
And she's beautiful, and she's fun. So intelligent, and we love her. We just like to imagine this is what Padma says about Gail.
Oh my god.
And by the way, I love Padma too. It's like 2 hours
of Gail slams.
But I also love Padma. Like, I love Padma. So this is all like, we don't even really think Padma says this. It's just like an ongoing joke we've created for the podcast, just for the sake of cracking each other up.
It is hilarious. So then she's like, Luigi, I'm not psyching you out. You're really gone, you piece of shit toast maker. Get out of here, you misogynist piece of crap who steals vegetables from behind fences with your hippie girlfriend.
Now let's raise our glasses and give a toast to the finest. Did you hear that, Joe Sasto? Did you hear that? A toast. That's what you lost on, toast.
Please pack your knives and get the toast out of here. That made no sense, but who cares? It's to dishonor you and honor the fallen local. Carrie's like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Padma's like, and now to help you go home, Joe, we brought along some helpful hands. Like, okay, how many times do they bring out these people every episode? Here, Joe, your Uber driver is a helpful hand. You may recognize this face, Joe.
Oh my god. And that brings us to the end of time. Oh no. Actually, the last thing is when they get rid of Luigi, Tom goes, well, just didn't come together.
There are no losers here, but there is a loser. So, bye.
Loser.
Oh, loser. Oh my goodness. That was amazing. That was so fun.
That was so fun. Oh wow. My god. I need a nap now.
Whew. I know. I'm like, wow. Wow. Wow, that was fun.
Well, Gail.
All right, well, that's the end of that. So let's all have, will everyone be the Padmas to our Gales and come to the Houston show? That we are at a low ticket alert. Imagine the siren emoji. Because the show is on Friday and we're running out of tickets. So come get your ticket at Houston, our Houston show. WatchWhatCrappens.com is where you can get that. And tickets to other shows, because we're coming to like a bajillion cities and we're going to, hopefully you can come see us. So go do that. It means a lot to us. It means a lot when the more people are at our shows, the more fun they are. So you're really doing a solid for your fellow Crappens fans too, and for us.
Oh my god, and we're so excited to see Texas. We're so excited to see you guys. I've got like 15 family members coming.
I've never been to Houston. I'm so excited to see Houston. And
wait until you see the freeways. You are gonna die.
I feel like I want to pick up the freeways and just roll around, just wrap them around me like a mink stole, and be like, look at my freeway stole. I'm elegant now in this big wide freeway.
Gail would wear that.
Gail would wear it. Yeah. So, guys, watchcrappens.com is where you can do that. And then we'll be back tomorrow to talk Vanderpump Rules. Yes. Bye, everyone.
I'm Ian Dell from Chemion Technology. We export all over the world. We got a big inquiry in from Italy for our insect repellents. Knowing absolutely nothing, speaking hardly a word of the language, the Department for International Trade have helped us out directly with finance and support with market knowledge and market studies. Jumping on a plane to see that Italian customer was probably the best business decision we ever made. If we can, you can. Search Exporting is Great.
From acclaimed director Lynn Ramsey comes a film critics are calling a masterpiece.
Mama here. State senator's teenage daughter's been missing all weekend.
Joaquin Phoenix gives his best performance yet.
I've heard of these places. If she's there, I'll get her.
It's stunning, daring, and mesmerizing. It's Taxi Driver for a new century.
Close your eyes.
You were never really here. In cinemas March 9th, rated 15.